good work, Stephen, and thank you, Speed Gear. There you have it. There you go. Let's go. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 581, June 7th, 2012. Stephen?
This week's F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the donation button located on the front page of the website. Click on it, make a donation, get your name mentioned on the show. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, tickets go on sale for the Texas Grand Prix. Vettel goes to New Jersey. Red Bull told to fill the holes in the floor before the Canadian Grand Prix. We've got an outstanding Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi, Mr. Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Absolutely outstanding. The Canadian Grand Prix. Love it. You gotta love it. Great place.
And for you, everything but the time is great.
Everything but the time is great. And it's funny, you're right. I really don't like normal time Grand Prix.
You like that early, early morning stuff.
I really do, because that's when the coffee's bubbling. You know, when it's in the afternoon.
Nice and quiet around the house.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's bugging me. So this it is problematic for me, but still, I will do the sacrifice. And I'm not even, I don't think it's on the BBC. This is going to be an ITV race and a speed race. So there's more suffering for the host.
More suffering, because now you have to watch it with commercials.
Exactly. But nevertheless, it's going to be an interesting race. Ferrari's coming out saying this is the barometer, basically. You know,
every week, basically, I know, that's what they're going to say.
Fernando has said, you know, this is it. If we cannot dominate here, we really don't have a chance, even though he's leading the Drivers' World Championship.
Yeah, well, I seriously doubt Ferrari will dominate here, just because of the type of track it is. And, you know, they've had kind of the advantage in the last couple of races in being a track that's a little bit more suited towards their car. But it'll be really interesting to see what happens. You know, the whole tire thing, this is, you know, kind of where the birth of the two quick wear compounds was born. So, should be an interesting weekend. You know, it could be a Bahraini type of thing with people getting messed up with protesters. And should be a fun weekend.
Well, the protesters have had some effect. The Canadian Grand Prix organizers have canceled the Thursday open doors day at the Gilles Villeneuve circuit due to the anonymous protesters' threats. And it's mostly a security thing, but that's too bad, because that's when everybody gets to get close to the paddock and the drivers and the cars, and you can get some great photos.
Yeah, tends to get to see an F1 car, you know, with basically arm's length.
But they decided, after serious examination of the situation and the public disruption threats by Anonymous, the difficulty to measure their precise validity, the organizers came to the conclusion that it was necessary to shut the whole thing down on Thursday. Still, I think they're going to be on the metro causing some issues, and of course you have to take the metro to get to the track.
Yeah, and they'll probably be outside the park on the bridges and stuff.
Crowds, you know, 100,000 people, the crowds are going to move those guys out of the way pretty quickly,
yeah,
trust me.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, tickets went on sale for the United States Grand Prix in Austin, Texas.
Austin?
And there was no caution or anything else.
No tire fires?
No. I found it interesting. I got the email today from the Circuit of the Americas saying that I could buy my tickets before the public can, which is really a bunch of hooey.
Because, you know, everybody else on the planet got the doors open, too.
The tickets were available through Ticketron, believe it or not.
Wow.
I believe yesterday. So, I don't know, but there's some reasonable prices. Yeah, some
maybe
great Ticketron, seating.
You did like a password or something. Sometimes.
Absolutely, but between $150 to $500 for premium seating.
Is that for a complete weekend pass or for
I believe
day?
So, yes.
Okay, I'm thinking $150 for a GA? Come on.
But still, I think they're reasonable prices. I think it's very possible that this is going to sell out. Inaugural Grand Prix usually do.
Yeah, and if it's not a bad venue for people to come in. This is also one of those races that a lot of the Western Hemisphere comes to. You know, people from South America, Mexico.
Colombia.
It's an opportunity for them to just
absolutely
get a much shorter flight than trying to get to Europe or Asia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And some of them might even be crossing the border illegally, Stephen.
Never.
I'm serious. Grand Prix, Rio Grande. It's perfect. So, no, I think it's going to be a great race. And we'll have more news on that. And I'm sure all our listeners have gotten the emails and are checking it out. And I'm sure there's going to be a big contingent of F1 Weekly fans out there. And I'm thinking of firing up the old printing press and getting some t-shirts made.
Ooh.
Well, if I get enough emails from people that are interested in an F1Weekly.com t-shirt, I will fire the printing presses up.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Well, it's expensive. We don't make any money on this stuff.
No, it's the bottom end pricing, it's tough to get them cheap.
But in the end, I shall and I will. If the demand is there, Stephen.
If there's demand.
Yep.
Demand it.
The other United States Grand Prix in New Jersey was in the news with Sebastian Vettel being announced that he will go test it during this Canadian Grand Prix weekend because Jersey is right.
Yep. On the way.
On the way. And this is going to be sponsored by Infiniti. But nevertheless, he'll be testing the track. I'm not probably in an Infiniti.
Yeah, probably. Probably like a G20.
But still, they're pretty serious. It looks like it's a go. We will now, F1 Weekly will be getting their press releases. We've communicated with the organizers, and we might have more news on the New Jersey Grand Prix.
They actually invited us to get their news.
And not
really
only
nice.
That, I think this is going to be an exciting Grand Prix, an exciting street race with the New York City backdrop.
Yeah.
It should be pretty exciting, and that would be in June of 2013. So I'm pretty pumped up about that, Steve.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun.
Anyway, Red Bull got in trouble. The holes on the floor right by the rear wheels, which they've had since Bahrain. But apparently some people complained about it in Monaco. Charlie Whiting made a decision. They must fill the hole with some putty.
Spackle.
Spackle, Bondo.
Bondo.
Or just cork.
You know, cork could be nice and light.
After the champagne, you know. So I don't think it's going to affect their performance whatsoever.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was really giving them a whole lot. It's,
I think it was just a weep hole.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. But still, Canadian Grand Prix, I think it's going to be very exciting. Red Bull should be strong. I think Michael Schumacher and Mercedes is going to be very strong. I think Lewis Hamilton and McLaren are going to be very strong. Force India could look pretty good in Canada. I think this track suits them.
Lotus could be good at this track, too. They seem to do well on the longer, faster tracks.
Well, what's good about Canada, it's often warm, beginning of summer, close to it.
Yeah.
And Lotus, apparently, if the track cools, everything falls apart performance-wise. And
that just tells you what that car needs sticky tires.
It does need sticky tires. So if the temperatures are warm and muggy and hot, Kimi Raikkonen could very possibly be on pole.
Or Romain Grosjean could be on pole if he could. The question becomes, is can he keep the car on track once the race starts?
Absolutely. And a lot of times, me and Nasser spoke about this last week, it's not his fault, but nevertheless, he's always in a bad place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
He needs to get away from that. He needs to turn that around for his reputation.
Some of that is his fault for being in that spot.
And not avoiding the spot.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Romain Grosjean certainly needs.
He got so squeezed in Monaco.
Yeah, and it's too bad because Monaco was one of his tracks that he excels at.
Yeah, and he was did qualified really well. Qualified Kimi yet again, but
and Williams could look very good at this track. Pastor Maldonado, if he stays out of trouble, could look very good. It's going to be fascinating. Bruno Senna certainly has to pick it up and match Pastor's pace. I think that's going to be absolutely super important.
And then it'll be interesting to see how Felipe does on a faster track.
Felipe says he's got his mojo back after Monaco. Yeah. He's told the press
that when I see it.
He found his mojo. He's probably going to wear
his mojo.
No, but the same panties he wore in Monaco. Huh? You know, he's a pretty superstitious kind of a guy. Felipe Massa does have to perform this weekend. Romain Grosjean has to perform this weekend. Michael Schumacher on the high of doing the fastest lap in Monaco. And Canada is similar to a street circuit. Close walls, except that there's more long straights here, which are fun.
Yeah.
But still, and the Mercedes package, I think, suits Canada really, really well.
It should be very interesting to see what happens.
And I'm rooting for Kimi Raikkonen all the way. Now, we do have our FIA driver steward appointed. That will be Martin Donnelly. And, you know, he's been a steward before. He's 47 year old. He was a top dog.
Stewart's actually younger than me.
He was a top dog in the 80s in the junior formulas. Then he went to Arrows in 89 for the French Grand Prix at Paul Ricard, substituted for Derek Warwick, qualified 14th, and raced to a credible 12th. He's been around. He's a pretty good guy. I think it's a good choice. We'll see what happens. I'm worried about the protesters. They're going to be hacking websites. I certainly hope they stay away from me.
Exactly.
Well, our website's pretty puny.
Yes, and we don't need
we don't have a lot of security walls and big things protecting it. You know, I don't know. And we're the little guys.
Exactly.
It would be really silly for us to get attacked. So I hope that doesn't happen. F1 did get attacked in Bahrain. I expect they will again this weekend. A little bit, their website went down, and it'll come back. I suspect we might have a little trouble with the live
timing yet again.
Yeah, live timing will be an issue, but still, it depends. You know, they might get what they want in the end before the Grand Prix.
What do they want?
They don't want the tuition hikes, Stephen. Is that cave of yours? You should build some windows
tuition,
in there, Steve.
Which tuition hikes? At what particular school?
In Montreal.
Okay.
The tuition is a lot lower than the rest of Canada. So Canada wants to bring them up to the rest of Canada, and hence the protesters don't like that. Quickly, Mark Webber. He's pumped up.
I would be too if I'd won at Monaco.
He won in Monaco. The Red Bull is getting better. They've got to fill the holes. But he's going to be a threat as well in Canada. But I don't know. I think the guy that really could win this... And it needs a win because we've had six different winners. Could it be Lewis Hamilton's turn? He got his first win here.
Yeah. It's a track that he does well at, but it's also a track that his teammate does well at. So it's hard to say.
Canada always brings out some good racing.
Yes, it does. Champions Wall and the Hairpin. It's usually a fun track to watch race because there are two or three different spots where you can get people on this track, and I really kind of wish they'd opened it up for a second DRS zone because you've got a couple of good spots where if you give someone just a little bit of advantage would be a better way to get past people. But oh well.
But obviously not. There's just one DRS zone. That's the FIA's decision, which is fine with me. Also in the news, since we're in Canada, Robert Kubica just out of the hospital with some elbow surgery. Not much news on how he's doing.
Trying to get some range of motion back in the elbow.
And it'll
be interesting to see whether or not he ever gets back into a car.
It's really interesting, and it's really sad. He was doing so well.
Yeah, basically a career cut short by the accident. You know, at least he wasn't killed. But it would be nice to see him get back in a car.
Absolutely, absolutely. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. I know Nasser's got a full plate with Motorsports Mondial, especially with some IndyCar news and some NASCAR news. There's a lot of good stuff happening in NASCAR, Steve. It's really, really fun. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message from Bassino.com.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bassino offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassino is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to Bassino.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, the King of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards. Today we have Danish domination at Spa, DTM has a surprise new winner, Demolition Derby at Dover, and much, much more, including a goodie bag.
We need a goodie bag. It's sort of a slow week.
Well, we have a goodie bag and we'll make it fast. World Series by Renault, your favorite series.
And at my favorite track.
Exactly, Spa-Francorchamps. Kevin Magnussen takes pole position for both races. Very impressive when the field includes drivers like Sandberg, Jules Bianchi, Alexander Rossi, and quite a few others. And both races were won by Danish drivers. Marco Sørensen was the winner on Saturday. Ex-GP2 driver Jules Bianchi and Sandberg were second and third, respectively. Sunday's race in the rain was won by Magnussen, his first of the season. This series is also going the Formula One way. No repeat winner in five races. Nick Jalali was second and Robin Freins from Netherlands was third. And Jalali from England won the season opening race.
Of course.
Some time ago in Viva España. Also at the Spa, though the little sister, Formula Renault 2-liter, your homeboy, Norman Nato of Francia, was the winner of race one over Stoffel Van Dorn of Belgium. And Stoffel Van Dorn drives for Josef Kaufmann Racing, our good friends from Germany. Second race of the weekend was won by Russian Daniel Kvyat, who is pretty good, and in the words of Robin Freins, pretty aggressive, and also sponsored by Red Bull, so good for Daniel. He resides in Italy. Jake Dennis from UK was second, and Van Dorn was third. We shall go from one beautiful track to another beautiful track, this time the Red Bull Ring in Austria. And DTM and F3 Euro Series were in action. First pole and victory in DTM for Swiss-based Italian driver Eduardo Mortara. And if you recall, last year we did a digital dialogue with him. The Audi driver held off strong challenge from the BMW of Martin Tomczyk and the Mercedes of Gary Paffert. And I understand that Mr. Senior Mortara drives for Keke Rosberg's Audi team.
Huh!
Yes, interesting. Joey Hand from Sacramento was ninth. Ralph Schumacher was 11th, his buddy, his pal, his chum, DC, did not finish. MotoGP.
I didn't realize that Ralph and DC were so close.
No, they are best of friends.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, does it go beyond that?
That we will have to find out from Cora and, Karan Minier. Well, DC has such a lovely wife that I will be shocked if he's, you know, jumping the window at 2 in the morning.
I understand that.
Yes, MotoGP, Jorge Lorenzo, man from... And, you know, talking of Ralph and DC, Ralph's wife, what's her name?
Cora.
Cora Schumacher. You know, she used to be a model before they got married. And what had happened in her younger days, in her youth, as she had done a photo shoot in her natural environment, and when she got hooked up with Ralph Schumacher, the photographer, you know, everybody loves a good penny or a shilling. So he was going to sell these photographs to some, you know, German magazine for a lot of money.
Der Spiegel or something.
Something like that. And Ralph Schumacher said, "What is your best price? I will pay it and get all the photographs." So that's a little...
So he's got them up in his basement.
Yeah, I hope he got the negatives too. You know, it's
like... Yeah, something like that.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, MotoGP, shall we get back on the track?
Please.
MotoGP, Jorge Lorenzo, man from Mallorca, wins Grand Prix of Catalunya in Barcelona. The Yamaha rider beat fellow Spaniard Danny Pedrosa on Honda, who was second, and third was the Italian Andrea Dovizioso on another Yamaha, or as Lorenzo would say, Yamaha. But that's okay. We know what he's trying to say.
Ha ha.
Yes, Casey Stoner on a Honda was fourth, and there was a good dice between him and Dovizioso. And this is the first time in 20 races that Stoner did not finish on the podium. So he's had a very, very impressive career. F3 Euro Series. There were three races over the weekend, and all of them had different winners. And this, you know, we're having a sort of a intervention here. This race took place at the Red Bull Ring.
DTM race.
Yes, sir, exactly.
I know, but
we're doing a flip-flop.
No, we're doing it. This is called creative writing.
Yeah, it's a flip-flop. You know, elections are here.
I understand.
So we have to take advantage of the fever pitch.
And we're independents here, by the way. Got to keep the listeners on their toes, too, you know?
Exactly. There you go.
Okay, keep up the good work now.
Okay, so back to Red Bull Ring F3 Euro Series. Three races, three different winners. First one is, we talked about him about this kid over breakfast last weekend.
Which was a good breakfast, and thank you very much, Nasser.
You is welcome. Rafael Marcello was the winner, followed by Will Buller, who took the second race in the series of the weekend. And Daniel Junkadea won the final race and now regains the lead in the championship. Daniel Junkadea is a very cool kid. Some years ago I met him at Hockenheim Ring, I believe it was. Very nice kid. He has done some BMW races, Formula BMW. And the guy who is sort of his manager, Nuno Sousa de Pinto, he's from Portugal. I've known him for a few years. So I met him. He was at the Oulton Park race where Mr. Brazier and I went. And I said, hey, man, can you talk to Daniel so we can do a Skype interview? He says, oh, man, just talk to other of my customers, not Daniel. He said, he doesn't look at emails and stuff like that. So he's happy-go-lucky, but he's a pretty good driver, though. And he was a big winner in the Macau race last year, if I recall correctly. Now we go to Portugal, Dr. Miguel's hometown. And I hope Dr. Miguel's... We need an update on his flying adventures.
Yeah, we need photographs too.
Yeah, exactly.
Haven't heard a thing.
Yeah, especially when he's going over the Keshkesh beaches and low level and some nice photographs. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see those.
You think that's what the doctor's doing? I knew there was
I don't know what he's doing, but
motive here.
Yeah. So, World Touring Cars from Portugal at Algarve, Portimão, beautiful circuit. Both races were won by Chevy drivers. Ivan Muller won the opening race of the weekend, and Alain Menu took the second win. Now we go to this wonderful race on Belle Isle, Indy Cars, and this was a first, a track done blowed up. Did you see it? Did anybody see any of what was going on?
I just saw highlights.
What was your reaction?
I thought it was interesting. It was exciting, too. But I don't know.
It's not the first time that they've had trouble with the track in Belle Isle, either.
No, this has happened quite a few times. You know, some years ago when A1GP was racing in China, I think it was in Beijing, there was a street circuit, and they had a pretty tight U-turn. And for whatever reason, practice didn't happen, but when they were doing qualifying, a lot of people were dicing. They realized they cannot make a turn during the race. So they had to make some... There was a road going straight, so they had to move the barriers. So.
Yeah, they had issues with the manholes, too, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yeah, we've had issues. Manhole is always... you have to weld them properly. We've had those issues in the Long Beach Formula One race. So these things happen. But, I mean, they took care of it in a pretty decent manner, and hopefully Detroit is saying, this will not happen again. Sucker. And you know, race was promoted by Roger Penske. And you know who that is.
Some guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some guy from Shaker Heights, Ohio. Okay, track required some late race, or should I say mid-race TLC. And when it was all patched up, Scott Dixon from New Zealand was the winner over Ganassi teammate and now three-time Indy winner, Senior Dario Franchitti. And since Canadian Grand Prix is this weekend, let me remind everybody, in case nobody has heard this, Franchitti is cousin of Paul Di Resta.
Shocking.
Yes, that's the way it goes.
I thought they were two Italian blokes.
Yeah, two Italian youths.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, I want an update on Rubinho.
Well, Rubinho, I think he's trying to find out where the brake pedal is in IndyCar racing. I frankly thought he would do much better than what he's doing right now, but it's just going to take some time, I guess. Or maybe he can spend a few years here, then hang out with Monty and what we are coming to next, your favorite series, which would be?
Le NASCAR.
Okay. They were at the Monster Mile. You know, tracks have nicknames too, Monster Mile, Track Too Tough to Tame, Lady in Black. It's beautiful. No, there's a track called, I think it's Darlington, Lady in Black. One is called Track Too Tough to Tame, and the other is Lady in Black. So they should we call a name for like Laguna Seca?
The problem is that Track Too Tough to Tame is probably an oval, right?
How did you guess that? So what would they call the 14-mile Nürburgring?
Exactly.
The Impossible Dream?
The Impossible Dream.
Okay, let's get to, let's get back to the track. Business as usual, Jimmy Johnson from El Cajon near San Diego, winning number 7 at this track, which is very impressive, while Kurt Busch has been suspended from this weekend's race at Pocono after he lost his cool with a reporter after the nationwide race in which he drives for his brother's team. And, you know, as they say, diamond cut diamond. Kind of surprised why this guy is so... I can understand the frustration, but if you have been fired by Roush Fenway Racing, then by Roger Penske, and now you're on probation, maybe it's time to go to a 3M product, Scotch tape, and put it on your mouth.
Or maybe anger management courses?
He might get pissed off at the teacher, you know, so that's not going to work for him. Tony Stewart was having some issues some years ago like this, but he cooled down. And the sad part is, you know, both Tony and this guy, they are very good racing drivers. So I don't know why they have to resort to. But I mean, I was so, so surprised when I saw, when he was fired by Penske, they were, you know, it was in the news, so I saw some other videos. When he was with Penske, he was using some foul language, very bad language with the lady reporter. And I was very surprised that a captain did not cut him loose at that time. But sometimes, you know, you have these contractual clauses, but it's just not easy, or it could be very painful in the pocket to release a guy. Okay, now you're a music guy. In the goodie bag, we have the Zegger and Evans segment. You remember their famous song?
Yeah, in the year 2525.
You think we'll be around?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
F1 Weekly will probably be on podcast 2,044,000.
No, but would Clark Rogers and Sidekicks be doing the thing, or will it be Clark Rogers Jr.?
Probably just Clark Rogers.
Oh, you're going to be there.
You'll be in Poe, and Steve will be in...
Prague?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see what happens. Okay, today we are singing in the year 2006. You know, one of my hobbies is, which I really, really enjoy, is just out of the blue, just pick up an old racing magazine or a book that I've read 50 times and then just, you know, read about it. And it's interesting, you know, where sometimes you're reading and you're reading about Mark Webber just won the Formula Ford support race for the Austria Grand Prix. So these are, you know, nice things to know. So here are some of the interesting items from the January 2006 edition of F1 Racing Magazine. And this is just personal observation. This is not a paid commercial. Okay? But I just want to mention it's from F1 Racing Magazine. If people, January 2006, so if they want to read more, they can dabble more. To start with, they gave Formula One entry list for the season, team by team, starting with defending world champion Mile 7 Renault F1 team. And who was their main macho that year? Do you remember? And the wind cried, Nando.
Well, of course, 2006, Machismo.
Absolutely. So, you know, we all know who that is. Their number 2 driver was Giancarlo Fisichella. You know, they never gave him the winning car, so he went to Force India and put the car on pole at Spa. These days, you can see him in sports car racing. Numero uno is still numero uno, but at a different team.
Well, he went to the same team.
Who?
The Giancarlo Fisichella went to after he got pole at Spa. And now his ex-teammate is number 1 at that team.
Ferrari. Fisichella went to Ferrari.
No, but his pole was not with Ferrari.
No. That's where he went. Right
no, I know.
That.
No, but I'm not mentioning the pole thingy.
I
but,
understand.
You know, his career at Ferrari, by the way, was one of those things. Be careful what you wish for. Yeah. He had a pretty good gig at...
Force India.
Force India. He went to Ferrari, and it was just a little bit better than Luca Badoer. So, anyway, at McLaren, and again, because of time consideration, we won't be talking about both drivers in each team, you know, just to the not the obvious is what we will bring, as you will see. At McLaren, car number 4 was driven by Juan Pablo Montoya. He has moved from race. This is my favorite. This is what I call progress for mankind. He has moved from racing in Monte Carlo to Martinsville. Isn't that beautiful? His teammate back then was Kimi. And after sampling Tin Top and Trucks, he's back in F1. And what do you think of the chances of a Lotus driver winning this weekend?
I think Kimi has a good chance. But I think Schumacher's got a good chance. But then I think Lewis Hamilton has a good chance.
I think
Lando has a good chance.
Yeah. I think if there's going to be a repeat winner, my money would be on, I would say, Vettel. And I think if it's going to be a new one, it will be Shuey or Hamilton.
I concur.
Yeah. But this track does bring some surprises because of its very rough on brakes. So let's see what happens. Scuderia Ferrari had Schumacher and Massa. Massa is still there, but both are now on the Buffalo Soldier program. Fighting on arrival, fighting for survival.
It's just so much talentness.
Yeah, Mr. Marley, thank you very much. Yaman. Okay, cars number 7 and 8 belong to Toyota. They are out of F1 and into Le Mans this year with a hybrid racer. Le Mans is coming up soon.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah, it will be nice to see Toyota. Do you remember what, some years ago they had pole in the second fastest car many years ago? And if I remember correctly, Martin Brundle was in one of the cars. They came very close to winning.
And Martin Brundle's back racing in Le Mans.
With his son, I believe.
Correct.
Good for him, Alex. And where are the drivers today? Jarno Trulli is making wine in hometown of Pescara, but he lives in Switzerland. And Ralf Schumacher, your buddy, is enjoying wine and drive in DTM courtesy of Mercedes-Benz. Williams, their 2006 pairing, Mark Webber and Nico Rosberg, is amazingly the only pairing, apart from drivers at Ferrari, in the same season who are still in Formula One. Now, you know, Massa on with Ferrari, off with Ferrari. What do you think after his performance in
he'll finish
Monaco?
Out the season. He's been at Ferrari way too long for them to just fire him. And let's not forget, Nicolas Tott is his manager.
Si.
It's called clout and pasta.
Cloud computing and cloud car
racing. Absolutely.
Racing.
He'll be there till the end. And
what is the end?
Well, obviously with the talk of now Ferrari saying that Perez is not experienced enough, which I think is a bunch of hooey. I think that's just, they're trying to distract everybody. But we'll see what happens. Next year is going to be interesting. It could very well be Mark Webber going to Ferrari. Nando's buddy.
You know, I think what they should do is they have the man they need, okay? And Fernando, I think what they should do is give one, either a young guy, either somebody like Perez or Jules Bianchi or Romain Grosjean a chance to see if they have the next Machismo guy.
I don't know. I don't see Romain Grosjean is not good.
Don't see Ferrari typically wants more experienced drivers when they move people in. So it's probably going to be some. Grosjean would be a possibility because this will be the end of his second season, so that'd be the beginning of his third.
It's not complicated. They ask Nando, "Who do you want for your teammate?" Nando answers, and that's it. It's done.
And that's who they
He's hired. There's no big lottery or discussions. They just go to Nando and Machismo.
What are the chances of Nando saying, "You know, once upon a time for a season, I had a teammate. I really enjoyed working with him, racing with him."
And they're talking. Those two talk to each other all the time now. They're boot bros.
Yeah,
that's
you know
the irony of it all.
Yeah, and interesting, you know, what happens with Lewis Hamilton. There's a lot of report that 19 Entertainment or whatever they are called, they are shopping him around. But we'll see. Okay.
They think he's getting burned out at McLaren.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go back to the goodie bag. Next team entered was Lucky Strike Honda F1 Racing. They ran out of luck, and their only winning strike was in Hungary, courtesy of Jenson Button. His teammate is now racing in Indy cars, and we already mentioned his name in glowing tribute. Red Bull Racing had DC and Christian Kleen as drivers. DC is racing in DTM, and Kleen is cleaning up in sports car racing, or at least trying to. I met him at Le Mans some years ago. He was a pretty nice, friendly guy. Good friends with Timo Glock because they raced in Formula BMW together.
What year for Red Bull was that? Was that their second year?
2006? Yeah. 2006 would be the first or second, something like that. I don't remember the exact year. But DC did a pretty decent job, but then towards the end of his tenure with Red Bull, he was just crashing into people, and just it was not a happy scene. Suite 16 and 17 was on BMW Sauber F1 team. The team is still based in Hinwil in Switzerland, and the Sauber name is still on the cars. Gone are BMW and Dr. Mario Tyson, and so are the drivers from F1 scene, Nick Heidfeld and Jacques Villeneuve. And Jacques Villeneuve was recently in the news. He was going to do some sort of a race or something. So he's still moving around.
Yeah, but come on. It's over with.
Isn't Heidfeld doing sports cars also?
Yeah, I think he's also signed up with some sports car thing, and previously was doing testing for Pirelli. So they always stick around racing, which is good, you know. Nothing wrong with that. Midland is now Force India. Back in 2006, their drivers were Thiago Monteiro and Christian Albers. Does anybody remember Christian Albers?
Yeah.
At one time, his parents were living in...
Sacramento.
Georgia.
Atlanta.
Yeah,
they were around Peach Street.
Well, everything is Peachtree, you know. Seriously.
I've been there.
You've been there? Nice.
Of course.
I've never been to Atlanta.
You really?
I've passed through
it's
once.
It's exciting.
You know what is amazing is I have flown from here to New York to visit family, D.C. I cannot tell you how many times, many, many times. And I think I've passed through Atlanta maybe once or twice, mostly through Chicago.
That's Detroit, because you don't fly Delta.
I
fly Delta. Yeah. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of hot dogs.
And I've flown actually Delta a few times, but it was through Salt Lake City, where they used to have a hub. I don't know what's going
on. No hot dogs in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Toro Rosso, the B team, Red Bull's B team, still the nursery of future stars. But, you know, after I wrote this, I realized a comment that I think it was, what's this guy, Franz Tost made a comment. When they let this guy go.
Scott Speed.
And I think the comment was, we're not running a kindergarten here for racing drivers. But, you know, to each his own. The lineup from 2006 failed to shine and became victims of Dr. Marco's machete. Victims with Antonio Liuzzi and Scott Speed. But, you know, the new guns are doing pretty good. Ricciardo, whatever the name is, and Mr. Jean-Eric one. Okay, here is my favorite team, Super Aguri. This was Honda's B team to keep Sato-san in F1. He is now in IndyCar racing, while teammate is a GP commentator and sports car racer. And Sato-san, man, he basically threw away an Indy win this year.
Which would have been fantastic for the Japanese people. Could you imagine?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It would have been
Japanese
over.
Driver winning Indy 500.
For IndyCar,
yeah, drinking sake on the podium.
Sake, no milk?
No milk.
Yeah, I mean, this would have been great. But, you know, I hate to say this. He did at the end what I expected towards the beginning of the
That's
race.
True. To make it to the end was pretty surprising. Yeah. I agree completely.
Oh, he was quick. Okay, so that was the lineup for the 2000.
That was, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's the motorsports boomerang, you know. You just can't let go of this guy. He became the youngest back-to-back champion, and 5 years later in Abu Dhabi, he would handle that baton to Sebastian Vettel.
Vettel!
And then the question came in my mind, well, did he hand the baton to Sebastian Vettel, or was it passed through Petrov? I don't know.
Take it easy.
That's a little sling
and
arrow.
You and the peas.
Yes, sir, Bob. Okay, today's famous last words comes from the same edition of F1 Racing magazine, and the driver is quoted as saying, and I quote, "I don't think anyone on the grid is as good as me. Fernando and Kimi just fell into the right place at the right time." End of quote. And with that, we button up today's Motorsports Mondial and say what Miss Jessica Michibata would say. Arigato for listening and sayonara.
Put back nothing, whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may.
Guesses, for this weekend's Grand Prix? Some,
I say number seven.
Number seven?
Schumacher or Hamilton.
What about Nico Rosberg?
Well, that'll be a repeat winner.
I know, but I think we're going to have a repeat winner. There's no way we're going to have seven different winners. Because now we're up against the numbers game.
Lotus.
If we get a seventh different winner, the word lottery is going to be coming back into the...
You know who really has a good chance, seriously, because of the tire management issue and being brakes, a smart racer. It comes back again.
Nando?
Yeah.
El Machismo?
Yeah.
If Nando wins this race...
Because these tires, you know, go very quickly, and Montreal track is tough on tracks, on tires and brakes anyway. So I think if anybody can...
He's become really the cerebral.
He's the new professor.
He is the new professor. Yeah. El profesor.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty impressive, I have to admit. And nobody would have guessed that he'd be leading the championship with that ugly car.
Well, let me tell you, I cannot think of anybody in the field today that would be leading the championship with that car except this guy. I kid you not.
Yeah. He's the only guy that can take a dog of a car and put it where it's supposed to be. It's very impressive. It's going to be a great weekend. What are your plans for the weekend, Ness? Big barbecues, Canadian hot dogs?
Oh, Tim Horton hot dogs all day long, A. And B, lots of Molson. Maybe not. No, but I'm going to enjoy the race very much. And like you, I do enjoy European races at 5 in the morning. It's very quiet and serene. But Formula One anytime is welcome and very much enjoyed. And so I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent. Any predictions, Stephen?
Lotus.
Lotus, keep up the good work. Let's go Kimi anyway. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'd like to mention our Google, MySpace, Facebook, and all those stupid sites. Do a search for F1 Weekly.
Social networking.
And add us as one of those social dudes. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with this website, we do a great job in producing spots. We are the best in the business. Just email me, info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.